This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from BFM 89.9. I'm Meera Sivasudhi. Now, after 8 years on the air, we're bringing the Bigger Pictures Health and Living to you, live, on the ground. A whole day with the experts, debunking myths behind heart disease and diabetes, addressing our love affair with food. And of course, George will be there talking about sperm. So join us at BFM's Health and Living Live 2016 on Saturday, 2nd of April. Go on and register at bfm.my/health.
The Bigger Picture on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You are listening to Health and Living. I'm Lee Chui Lin. In an aging society, dental health problems become an increasingly particular issue since they can arise from other medical conditions. Older people are often associated with missing teeth, gum disease, and dentures. What are the gaps in the subspecialty? Dentist and prosthodontist Dr. Jacob John presents an insight into healthy teeth for healthy aging. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Lynn, and thank you to BFM for inviting me for this show.
What sets geriatric dentistry apart as its own subspecialty?
Okay. Now, like you just said just now, people are living longer than ever before. And this is becoming the fastest growing sector of our population. This fastest growing potential patient groups also are coming from this group. Now, if you look at the our census, people aged above 60 years are making up almost 9% of our population, present population. And we are expecting it to shoot up to about 15% by 2030. Now, based on ability to seek treatment, we can classify people into three groups. And that will be like functionally independent, frail elderly, and functionally dependent elderly. Now, the latter two, the frail elderly and the functionally elderly, normally have chronic debilitating physical, mental, and emotional problems. Their management and treatment requires special skills. Yeah.
Overall, how would you describe the state of oral health among older people? Do they use dental care services?
Okay, the aging process can be as hard to our mouth, teeth, and gums as is to any part of our body. Okay, and as we get older, we are more susceptible to the buildup of plaque and the weakening and cracking of older fillings that has been existing there in our mouth for a long time. Now, there is a tendency for our teeth to become brittle. And as we grow older, we suffer from diminished muscular control, which can make chewing and wearing of dentures a difficult task.
Would you say that they're being overlooked right now, the elderly, when it comes to dental care?
I would not say they are being overlooked, because if you look at our the government policies, the Ministry of Health established what is called as the Majlis Kesihatan Warga Tua, or the National Council on Health for the Elderly, in 1997, almost 10 years back, with the action plan for provision of healthcare to the elderly in Malaysia. And also, if we look at the vision of Wawasan 2020, the seventh challenge in that is called establishing a fully caring society and a caring culture. So, as our population ages and the number of frail and functionally dependent elderly, like I told just now, increases, the demand for care beyond the normal dental clinic setup will increase. Therefore, it is essential for us to train those who are existing as well as the new dentists to take up this challenge. That is our challenge. Yeah.
The other thing that happens is that people who live longer sometimes end up living in long-term care facilities, sometimes end up living in, basically with their health being to a certain extent cared for. Is it more challenging to meet oral health standards for people living in these sorts of places? Or does the fact that they live in care facilities mean that they're more likely to have access to dental appointments and to have that part of their health covered?
Okay, that is the biggest problem we have now. Those who are, like I mentioned just now, those who are coming under the functional independent group, they do not have a challenge because they are able to manage on their own. But the frail and the functionally dependent, they will have to depend on the caregiver. The caregiver can be their family members, the children, spouse, or a person asked to give care. Now, if these people, in addition to taking care of their own teeth, do not know how to do it for these elderly, then it is a big challenge. And also, they should be made clearly known that they have to not only have to go and seek dental treatment, they have to make it a point to bring these people for care.
How does oral health affect the quality of life of people who are, who are of advanced age?
Oral health affects people physically, psychologically, and emotionally. Okay, and it influences how they enjoy life, how they look at life, how they speak, how they chew, taste food, and even how they socialize. So it has a very important role in the quality of life, in the general quality of life of a person.
Do people usually know that it plays such a big role? I mean, you understand that things like heart health, you know, these are major sort of life-threatening things. And all the things that you just described, you know, emotional health, mental health, these are all things that are very important. But do people usually recognize when, oh, they're not feeling so up to socializing or they're not feeling so good about themselves today? Do they make that link that, oh, maybe I should do something about my oral health?
Yes, that is the challenge because... Like most of us think, general health is very important for us. You know, we do not want to suffer from a heart ailment or a diabetes or arthritis. But dental, we look at dental as a very small component, and we do not consider it as a part of the body as we grow old. Now, because of that, what happens is we tend to neglect the oral health, okay? And also people, as they age, they start forgetting things, okay? Especially those who have dementia. So they even, actually to tell you the truth, they even forget that they need to brush their teeth, okay? Because of their mental situation, they are not able to care for themselves. So it is very important that we as the caregivers in general have to play a very important role in taking care of their teeth so that the quality of life is maintained.
With all these variety of issues coming into play, what are the common problems that dentists encounter with elderly patients? What are the things that people tend to see and go, okay, you know, we talked about dentures, we talked about teeth loss, tooth loss. Is that normal?
Probably about 15, 20 or even much before that, my father's time, okay? Teeth was considered as, like you said, a second priority. So if at all we had a toothache, okay, the first thing we will think is we'll try to bear with it. Okay, and probably if it is not bearable, then we start taking some medication and we resort to seek dental care as the last resort. Okay, and so what happens is by the time they reach the dentist, the tooth is non-salvageable and it has to be extracted. So you see many of the more aged of persons of our population having less number of teeth, but that trend is changing. Okay, due to the awareness of people, they are taking care of their teeth to not come to the age, come to the stage of extraction. We have treatment like root canal treatment. We have periodontal care, okay, which can help in maintaining the health of the teeth. So we are seeing more and more aged people with more number of teeth than we were seeing in probably 15, 20 years ago.
Other issues that are common, I've read, are dry mouth. What is it about dry mouth that makes it prevalent among older people?
Okay, 1 in 3 older adults have dry mouth, okay, and which is frequently a side effect of medication. Many of the prescribed drugs, okay, such as for high blood pressure, depression, allergies, pain, these are all have a side effect of causing dry mouth. And the more medications we take, the more likely that one is to be troubled by dry mouth. then you have the over-the-counter medications like antihistamines, decongestants. These can also cause dry mouth, along with other medical problems like when you are undergoing chemotherapy, radiation therapy, illness such as diabetes, Parkinson's, Sjögren's disease. These are Sjögren's syndrome. These are all causing or having a side effect of causing dry mouth, or what we call as xerostomia.
With dry mouth, does it lead to other oral health issues? Can it also lead on to more severe complications, or you know, just other syndromes?
Okay, dry mouth, the culprit here is the saliva. Okay, so saliva is the mouth's primary defense against the tooth decay. Okay, and it maintains the health of the soft as well as the hard tissues in our mouth. Saliva also washes the food and other debris in the mouth, and it neutralizes the acids produced by the bacteria. It provides the first line of protection against any microbial invasion or overgrowth that might lead to disease. So when you say you have dry mouth, that means that it is a result of decreased volume of the saliva in the mouth. And normally, occasionally they have dry mouth, but occasionally we can have dry mouth due to dehydration or feeling nervous, okay, which is common, normal. But if it persists for a long time, then it is a sign of an underlying problem.
I'm speaking today with Dr. Jacob John, dentist and prosthodontist from the Faculty of Dentistry at University of Malaya. We're talking about geriatric dentistry, which is its own subspecialty, and we're discussing the state of oral health among older people. If you would like to send a question, you can text us. That number is 016-201-9000. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio if you have a question about oral health care among the elderly. BFM 89.9.
You're still here. Good. Now, if you're listening to this podcast while on the treadmill, you're already off to a good start. If you're not, don't forget to join us at BFM's Health and Living Live 2016 on the 2nd of April. Find out how you can live a better, healthier life. Go on and register at bfm.my/health.
Good afternoon. You are listening to Health and Living on The Bigger Picture. I'm Lee Chui Lin. In the studio with me, Dr. Jacob John, dentist and prosthodontist from the Faculty of Dentistry at University of Malaya. We're talking about geriatric dentistry, specifically dental health among the elderly, among people who are slightly older. If you've got a question, feel free to text us. That number is 016-201-9000. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. We're waiting for your questions. But in the meantime, we were talking about dry mouth, specifically how it arises, what it can mean. Once all that said, how do you manage or treat dry mouth?
Dry mouth can manifest in many ways. Okay, you can have a feeling of dryness in the mouth, feeling of dryness in the throat, frequent thirst, dry or cracked lips, hoarseness in the voice, dry eyes, bad breath, okay, which is also known as halitosis, persistent cough, dry nasal passages, mouth sores leading to ulcers, dry corners of the mouth. So you see, there are so many things that can happen just because of that one dry mouth. Okay, even those who are wearing dentures, they have difficulty in wearing the dentures because it does not stick onto the palate or to the lower jaw. Okay, so managing this now becomes a big challenge. Okay, and you can look at it in three different aspects. One is by treating the underlying cause. Okay, I told you there are medication is one of the biggest culprit in causing dry mouth, and with the consultation of your physician, you can reduce the dose of the medication, or the physician can suggest trying an alternative medication. Okay, and other conditions like nasal decongestants, these can be. Nasal decongestants can be used for cases like blocked nose, or when a person is suffering from diabetes, insulin will help in reducing this dry mouth. Now, what are the things that you can try yourself? Okay, increasing your fluid intake helps a lot. Sucking on sugar-free sweets or chewing on sugar-free gums also helps to promote saliva production. Sucking on ice cubes have been shown to improve also. And people can even consider using a humidor in a at night, okay, to add moisture in the air that they breathe and to increase the salivation in their mouth. And one important thing is you have to avoid alcohols, including those alcohol-based mouthwashes. You have to try to avoid caffeine and smoking. Overly spicy food or salty food can also decrease the saliva flow. Okay, so these are things that you can by yourself try to modify. And then you have, if all these things do not help, then you have the saliva substitutes or stimulants, which you can seek advice from your dentist or the physician.
How important is water overall in mitigating dental problems? And is it actually the fluoride in treated water that makes the difference, or is it just hydration in general?
Okay, now fluoridation. Fluoridation is a process of adjusting the fluoride content that occurs naturally in our water, okay, to the best or optimum level for tooth decay prevention. Okay, so if a community has fluoridated water, then it will it modifies the amount of fluoride already present in the naturally present in the water to the level best suited for the dental health. Okay, so water fluoridation is an effective, safe, inexpensive, and a very practical method of decreasing caries in the mouth. Okay, and everyone automatically benefits when they drink and consume food or drinks processed from this fluoridated water. So the benefits of fluoride in that water is tremendous.
So is it a combination of fluoride and water, or is it, you know, even if I drank water without fluoride, would that still have benefits for my dental health?
Water can act as a cleanser in our mouth, okay? But unless the fluoride is there, it is not going to help in decreasing the decay, okay? Studies have proven that water fluoridation effectively reduces dental caries to 20 to 40%. Okay, even in this time when we have other sources of fluoride, like toothpaste, mouth rinses, okay, these are all other sources of fluoride. But taking into consideration the cost, okay, a study was done in the United States, and they say $1 of water fluoridation helps to reduce the cost of dental care by $38. Okay, and the Center for Disease Control and Prevention in the U.S. has stated that community water fluoridation is one of the 10 greatest public health achievements of the 20th century. So you see how much of importance we globally give to fluoridated water.
You mentioned caries just now. We like to think that tooth cavities are a problem of the past once we reach old age, but it is similarly prevalent among older people. Why is that?
Okay, like I said just now, more and more people are growing older with a high complement of teeth, okay? Unlike probably 15, 20 years ago when the care was to remove the tooth or the source of the pain due to the cavity or periodontal gum problem, okay? And if you look at global clinic caries incidence data, okay, it clearly states that older people are indeed caries active group. Okay, and as people live longer and keep more of their natural teeth, the problems of decay on the root surface of the tooth also increases in addition to what we see on the crown of the tooth. So it is not just the coronal, what we call as the coronal caries, we are also now looking at the root caries.
What about sensitive teeth? Do they develop with age?
Yes, again, it is because if you look at the tooth, it is of three layers. Okay, you have the enamel, the dentin, and the cementum. Okay, now the enamel is the strongest portion of the tooth structure, but as you age, the enamel starts wearing off, and once you reach or close to the dentin, this is when you start getting this hypersensitivity. Okay, dentins have got very micropores or tubules which are very sensitive to air, cold, sweet. Okay, that is how you feel the sensitivity. So that is again a problem which keeps increasing as you age, and retaining your natural teeth.
What about gum disease?
Gum disease, yes. Gums, or rather the gum disease, is caused by a buildup of bacteria, okay, which is called plaque. Plaque forms constantly on the teeth, and it's important to remove this plaque to avoid gum inflammation. Okay, now if the plaque is not removed, the gum disease will in time affect the bone that supports the tooth under the gum. Okay, and this is when your teeth starts getting mobile, or it becomes loose, okay, to a stage where you will have to get it removed.
Earlier you talked about the importance of saliva in the mouth. What about bacteria? Could you share a little bit about the bacteria that live in our mouths?
Okay, bacteria, we have the harmless bacteria and the harmful bacteria. Okay, and if you keep your mouth hygienic, the harmful bacteria are minimal in the mouth, and that is when you can avoid caries and also gum problem. But when you do not have a proper hygiene mechanism within the mouth, then these bacteria, the harmful bacteria, tend to increase in the mouth. Okay, and if you look at one of the biggest challenges we have among the frail and the dependent elderly is the problem of pneumonia. Okay, and there are many studies that say that, you know, it is starting from the microorganisms that is there in the mouth that is causing this, or rather being a source of pneumonia, especially the hospital acquired pneumonia.
One of the key challenges you spoke of earlier was, of just impressing the importance of oral health within this community, but also of overcoming their health challenges. You know, they might have issues with memory, issues with dementia that will prevent them from cleansing as regularly as they should. But do older persons have to brush and floss more frequently? Would it be required?
Okay. If you don't have teeth, yes, of course, you don't have to brush or floss. But if you have your complement of teeth in your mouth, yes, because we need to eat. Okay, and when we eat, this plaque forms in the mouth. And unless we remove it mechanically, the chances of harm being caused on the teeth or the gums is increasing. Okay, so you have to get a cleaning done in the mouth. The question is whether you are, as an elderly person, are able to do it on your own, or you need the help of a carer. Okay, and invariably, the independent elderly is not a challenge. They should be able to, just with a repeated repeated prompting, they should be able to maintain the oral hygiene. But the frail and the dependent, they have to depend on a caregiver. Okay, so there lies our challenge, and there lies our responsibility to help take care of those their oral hygiene.
You mentioned if they have, they're a complement of teeth, and that's when they really need to consider all this. But if a person doesn't have their teeth, or if they just don't notice any dental problems, there are no gum issues, their teeth don't hurt, nothing seems to be the problem, do they still need to see the dentist?
Okay. If you have missing teeth, okay, that can affect the nutrition. Okay, since people without teeth often prefer soft or easily chewable food. Okay, so they're not getting the necessary nutrients. Okay, and the other side you will notice is, if you do not have teeth, then you will most probably have a denture. Okay, and these dentures, however, are not efficient for chewing food as natural teeth. Okay, because they stay on a plate, and it is moving within the oral cavity. Okay, so denture wearers again also may choose the type of food they can chew easily. Okay, they will avoid fruits, they will avoid vegetables because they have to grind these food. Okay, so even without teeth, you still have to, you still have a need to seek dental help to improve on your, again, emphasizing on the quality of life.
What's the difference between dental implants and dentures?
Okay, now dentures, dental implants, okay, and there's one more thing, it's called bridges, okay. These are things that are used to replace the missing teeth, okay. And dental implants, they feel and function just like our natural teeth because it is made up of a titanium fixture which is embedded into the bone. And once it is stabilized, okay, or what we call as the osseointegration between the titanium material and the bone, we can build a denture, a fixed denture onto the patient's mouth. Okay. Now, bridge, on the other hand, is taking support of the adjacent teeth. So, if you are fully edentulous, you cannot have a bridge. Okay. But if you have few complements of teeth, then you can make use of a bridge. But the disadvantage of bridge is you have to reduce the size of the abutment, or rather the adjacent teeth, to accommodate the missing tooth. While dentures, they come as partial dentures or complete dentures, okay? And you can make it either in a plastic material called acrylic, or it can be in alloy, okay? Biggest problem with the denture is it is seated on the gums, okay? So it does not have an anchorage. It is not fixed into the bone. So it is like having to do circus, okay, in your mouth.
Does that usually, so do people with dentures often need to visit the dentist? Do they have, does it affect their gums? I mean, that kind of instability?
Okay, now I'll just tell you the what you call the advantages of having an implant over the dentures, okay? So you'll have a better picture of where the denture stands, okay? Your mouth will be restored as closely as possible to its natural condition by having an implant. Okay, the implants are permanently fixed, okay, and won't be loose in the mouth because they are anchored onto those fixtures, the titanium fixtures. And it keeps you, the bone resorption is minimized when you have implant placed in the mouth because it has got the proprioceptive reflexes and it helps to reduce the bone resorption in the mouth. While there is no adhesion needed, okay? Denture wearers, many of them will have denture adhesives to support in holding the denture in the mouth, okay? Whereas you do not need that in implants. And also, it allows you to eat all types of food, unlike having a denture where you have to choose the type of food you have. But still, presently, we still have the challenge of the cost, okay? The implant being made out of titanium, the cost is still much higher than the conventional dentures. Okay, and dentures, you need to have periodic maintenance. That is, you have to clean the denture just like you clean your brush your teeth. Okay, because bacteria, especially after eating, can seep in and lodge within the denture. Okay, causing problems like candidiasis. And also, you need to, as like I told you just now, the denture wearers tend to have more resorption of their bone. So in the due course, what will happen is the denture will become loose. Okay, so you may have to replace the denture with a new one.
Moving on to advice for caretakers, because it sounds to me that is one major group that we need to communicate with. What is your advice to caretakers about signs to look out for when assessing the oral health of the older person they're caring for?
Okay, caretakers, what is important for the caretakers is to be observant. Okay, like we were talking just now about dementia. They may not tell you that they have a problem, but you have to be observant. You have to check out if there is any change in their routine, like they are trying to avoid certain food, they are complaining of aches, or there is foul smell coming out of their mouth. Okay, so they have to, in addition to taking care of the hygiene of the teeth, they also have to do a personal examination for the person they are caring for to make sure that these problems are not there. And if at all they do see it, they have to get in touch with a dentist to get some sort of a treatment done for the patient.
And finally, what would your prescription be for good oral hygiene for adults and particularly for the elderly?
Okay, good oral hygiene will still be brushing with fluoridated toothpaste. Try to avoid using hard brushes, okay, because it tends to, as you age, you will your proprioceptive ability is reduced, so you may tend to brush harder and wear off the teeth faster. Okay, so you can use soft brushes. Your diet is very important. Okay, any modification in the diet will have an effect, which starts in the mouth, but in the general health. And most important, you still have to have your periodic dental checkup. Okay, it does not. We tend to think that if the number of teeth in our mouth are less, or we do not have teeth, we do not have to have a dental checkup. It is not the right way. You have to have your periodic dental checkup.
Yeah. Thank you very much for coming in, Doctor. I've been speaking with Dr. Jacob John, dentist and prosthodontist from the Faculty of Dentistry at University Malaya. We've been discussing geriatric dentistry, providing an insight into healthy teeth for healthy aging. You've been listening to Health and Living on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.